post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
And that was a Still Call Australia Home for all the Aussie fans out there who, you know, perhaps need a little bit reassuring because we've got Russ Gibbs in the studio and the Brits are doing a little bit better than the Aussies at the Olympics, and he's happy even if we're not. Now, on with the show, Chris Owego.
Well, firstly, I have to say it does come down to funding, and I think all that money being pumped into British sport is paying off. It's about time, too, that the country who would like to claim the honours of inventing most sports finally gets a win on the board, but... give us time, we'll still beat you guys. Never mind, let the show go on. It's good evening and welcome to Capital Football's Near Post Radio Show. We are back for another week. Would you believe it? Anyways, I'm Chris Scottis and we're joined again by Russ Gibbs. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Mate, last week you didn't turn up.
No, I had a week off, mate.
You had the week off. You
blagged it.
He did.
Yeah.
Now, last week we called for a medical certificate. Did you bring one?
I didn't, but I did bring stacks of Canberra news for you this week.
Okay, that's fine. That's not a problem. Then we'll let you go. Anyways, man, it's good to have you back on the panel. And also, unfortunately, Russ, I believe you had a fantastic visitor lined up.
Well, Ronaldinho rang us in the week and he said he was going to come. But obviously, with Brazil now making the semi-finals of the Olympics, it's... he's not here. Bit disappointing.
That's
gonna,
a shame.
And he was going to bring us a special present as well, but...
he was. He was going to bring us a very special present. Now, never mind. We don't need Ronaldinho. The show must go on. We've got Russ, the brains. We've got Eamon, the football guru over there. Knows everything to do with football here, there and everywhere.
And we've got Russell Gibbs and Gibbs Russell. It's going to be fantastic.
There's two of us.
There's two of us. So we're joined by four people. But never mind. As we usually will do, we'll take a look at the news headlines at the top of the hour. We'll have a chat amongst ourselves with regards to everything football locally. And also we'll take a look at, I guess, a new segment, a very exciting segment. We mentioned a present that Ronaldinho is going to bring with him. Unfortunately, obviously, due to him not coming here with some Olympics, apparently, we have replaced it with an even better segment. So stay tuned for that. But remember, if you've got a Canberra football story you'd like to share with us, please contact the show at media@capitalfootball.com.au. And a big hello to all those listening to the podcast as well. But Russ, I believe you've got the news headlines.
I certainly do, Chris. We start with the A-League bid update as the ACT government have promised Ivan Slavic and his bid team $2.5 million towards the A-League for Canberra bid. This is sensational news as the $6 million needed as a startup becomes closer to reality. Now we need the public to do their part and sign up as foundation members. We're over for the 500 members milestone already, but we still need more, so get online now and pledge your $200. You know the drill by now, we mention it every week. And staying on the subject of the bid, Ivan Slavic met with the FFA last week with his presentation, and we'll have a little interview with Ivan a bit later on. And of course, the government have said they will match the Raiders and Brumbies funding each year, which has got to be good.
That is fantastic, because it's always great to see the government coming on board, not with this one lump sum to begin with, but annually as well for every year, coming under the national team's funding, which goes to great lengths for both the Brumbies and the Raiders and the Capitals as well. So good news there. And obviously 500 members is fantastic.
I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, but I did mention the ACT girls under-19s who were up in the championship at Port Macquarie. Now, they finished in fourth place, having defeated Northern Territory 10-0, and they lost the final match to the eventual champions New South Wales 2-0, which wasn't too bad considering New South Wales were giving everyone a hiding up there. On the back of this placing, three of the girls have now been selected for the Australian under-19 schoolgirls squad. Bronwyn Studman, Chrissy Walters and Rebecca Keating were standouts in the ACT squad and fully deserve their call-up. Five other ACT girls are on the standby list in case of injuries. They're Ellie Raymond, Sarah Crittenden, Sophie Kachinos, Rebecca Watts, and Maya Blash. So congratulations to the girls, and that's a good turnout from the ACT representative squad.
Indeed, fantastic and a great effort by those girls. Now, locally, Woden Valley Soccer Clubs invite everyone to their 2008 Gala Night celebrating their 20th anniversary. The theme night, a night to remember, and theme is black, white, and red. It's a three-course dinner. There's live bands and entertainment, a range of silent auction items, fantastic prizes. So get down there, support the local club. You can purchase tickets from the club on the weekends, and that one's this Friday at the Hellenic Club. So get down there and support local football.
Important news here, and then we talk about collections and stuff. This one here, August the 30th, Bell North members will be coming to Gungahlin United FC Nichols Fields to collect money for Ross Green's cancer treatment. Now, Ross is a Bell North player whose leukemia will be undergoing a bone marrow transplant in the near future. Go to the Bell North or Gungahlin website for more details, and please open your hearts and wallets for this very worthwhile cause.
Very, very worthwhile. And also, locally, with the Men's Premier League, the top four has been decided, though final standings are yet to be confirmed, but we will know the four teams to compete in this year's final series. Canberra FC, we've mentioned league champions in the past, they finish on top. Currently it's Canberra Olympic, Belconnen United and O'Connor Knights with the other three spots. So great news for those four clubs.
Certainly is. If we turn to the Hyundai A-League, the past weekend, Canberrans Nicola Topostani and Matt Kemp took the field for Perth Glory and Melbourne Victory, respectively, whilst Adam Casey had an outstanding match for Sydney FC in their home draw with Victory. Elsewhere, Ben Williams and Ben Wilson were in the thick of the action, officiating in Sydney and Wellington, respectively. And 16-year-old Ben Kantorowski, who was previously at the AIS, well, he made a sensational debut in the heart of the Newcastle Jets' defence. I know he impressed Damon as they drew 1-1 with the Central Coast Mariners.
Indeed, fantastic. Also great to see Canberra making a huge impact on the national scene. And finally, the Club Pink Premier League, Woden Valley. Congratulations to the girls down there. They secured their first win of the season, so great effort by those girls. Hopefully they can continue that progress for the rest of the year and maintain that squad for next year, because they're going to be certainly a very strong side next year.
Listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM.
So, as me mentioned at the top of the news hour, Ivan Slavic met with the FFA last week. Great news coming from that meeting. While it didn't start as a formal bid process, it certainly quickly turned into one, with the FFA very interested in hearing what he had to say. Anyways, last week I caught up with Ivan at the grand announcement with the funding, so here's what he had to say.
Welcome, Ivan. Thanks for joining us, mate. You've just received some fantastic news. Do you mind filling us in?
Yeah, now look, a fantastic commitment from the ACT government, which will make a very significant difference in our prospects of establishing an A-League team in 2010-11.
What was that figure?
$2.5 million is what the ACT government has committed to the A-League for Canberra bid to enter a team in the ACT, or the ACT team in the A-League competition for 2010-11.
And that's a significant chunk of your money required, or your finances required by the FFA?
Yeah, look, in terms of finances, what we're looking to do is raise $6 million. $2.5 million from the ACT government is a fantastic contribution towards that total. We need 5,000 foundation members to raise $1 million. We're up at around 450 foundation members, so we definitely need more of those. We'd have $2.5 million coming from the corporate business community.
So you're bumping that $6 million figure already?
Yeah, look, I think we're very close to that $6 million. I met with Ben Buckley, the CEO of the Football Federation, yesterday, and they were extremely impressed with our progress in a very short period of time. And this contribution from the ACT government of $2.5 million, without question, has made a significant impact on their view of a bid from Canberra.
So the meeting went well yesterday, obviously.
Yeah, look, their words was that we exceeded their expectations, and they now see that Canberra, and by the way, this is not just Canberra, this is for the whole region, is a very, very viable bid to have an A-League team for 2010-11.
You're up against some pretty stiff competition there.
Yeah, but look, that's nothing new. You know, competition, without the competition, it wouldn't be interesting. So I think Canberrans and people from the region should unite and stand up and demonstrate that the nation's capital ought to have a football team. I mean, the capital of New Zealand is represented, but not the capital of Australia.
Did they give you any insight into who else was placing bids?
Yeah, they indicated that there were four bids from Melbourne, two bids from Sydney, one bid from Wollongong, one bid from Tasmania. So no question there is substantial competition, but the contribution that we've now received from the ACT government of $2.5 million makes a very big difference in terms of our prospects
Was it the formal bid yesterday?
We turned it into a formal conversation with the Football Federation. They have a board meeting on the 27th of August, and they will discuss the prospects of the 2010-11 entrance, but the main focus will be the two teams they want to enter for 2009-10, likely to be Townsville and Gold Coast, but it's really 2010-11 they'll be discussing the progress to date, and I think with this contribution from the ACT government that we've really come closer to the middle of the radar screen.
What do you have to do between now and the 27th?
Yeah, we will submit a formal bid document to the FFA prior to their board meeting, and then there'll be supplementary meetings beyond their board meeting, and they'll give us some feedback after their board meeting.
Exactly how confident are you following yesterday's meeting with the FFA?
Oh, look, I think with the letter from the ACT government that increased the confidence meter enormously. And I think it also encourages corporates to come on board because in some respects it's gone from a situation from asking people to come on board to saying, look, you know, really if you want to come on board, now's the time or you'll miss out.
Ivan Slavich, thank you very much.
My pleasure and thanks for all your support.
That was Ivan Slavich, the Canberra A-League bid. We're going to have a chat about that. But I think it's absolutely incredibly fantastic news. Can you be more excited than that? $2.5 million from the government. Ivan's saying they've got basically $4.5 million out of the $6 million already on board. It sends a great message to the community. Really, this is it. This is our time. This is our chance. If you ever wanted a team in Canberra, Ivan Slavich has gone with $4.5 million in a short amount of time.
Well, I have to say, it's not only sending a positive message locally into we as he mentioned in there, it's not a Canberra bid, it's a bid for the Canberra and the surrounding region. So it doesn't only send a positive message locally, but also sends a positive message around the country. Those bids down in Melbourne, you mentioned those bids up in Sydney, the South Coast, Tasmania.
I've spoken to some of the guys involved in one of the Melbourne bids, and of course they've got three bids, so they're finding that there's a couple of bids there quite cashed up, but of course they're all pretty much divided in terms of how do you get three bids together. There's lots of problems once that comes together, so that's an advantage to us.
Well, I think they're stealing it, when there's three bids, they're stealing any support that they would then receive.
Sydney are saying they don't want another team yet because they want an extra year's moratorium because of Sydney FC not going so great with crowds and things. Again, great news for Canberra. Wollongong, they've got about $2 million on board. We're way ahead of them. And we've got government support, which sends a massive message. So,
and we won't even discuss Tassie.
And Townsville, Tassie, no. My old mate Martin Shaw from Olympics down there. But and Townsville, you know, everyone seems to be convinced that Townsville are in, but I'm going to stick my neck out and I'll say they're not in. Gold Coast are definitely in, but Townsville, their bid's been accepted, but it doesn't mean that they're in yet. And Townsville, we all thought a year ago that Townsville were going to be in. So what's this space on that one?
Well, I think it's very, very interesting, the Townsville bid and the fact that they've been accepted. It's not necessarily a city up there. You've got a large population spread over a large distance. I know the Cowboys up there in the NRL get good support, but it can turn very messy very quickly.
That's
up there.
Right. I've been talking to guys in Albury, from Wagga, from Coomer, of course, Goulburn, from many the football federations around this region, and you know, tremendous support. Josh Kennedy, supportive of us. Of course, Amy Chapman from that region, Sally Shippard from Wagga. So, you know, the community support is quite broad. And within Canberra, of course, you know, we're getting a lot of positive feedback. We've got 500 people signed up. The Mariners got 600 for their very first game. We're
exactly.
two years away from our first game. Fantastic. We're right on board, but we need people and we need companies and we need everyone really to, you know, take this opportunity.
I think it's good news for Canberra that the investment is coming through. It's going to send, like you said, that positive message. And it might also send out a bit of a kickstart to those people out there that are thinking about signing up for the foundation membership who are a bit reluctant because they can't see where it's going to go to. Now they're coming, you've got the news that the presentation's going well, the money's coming in from the investors and the businesses. There's no reason to stop people now getting on there and signing up.
No, it's a great time. And, I mean, what you get for your money, of course, is you get cheap discounted season tickets. You get the hat, the shirt eventually. You'll get a free entry to the women's games for 5 years, ACT Men's and Women's Premier. And you also, I saw today, there's some representation on the board for the foundation members. So, you know, it's looking tremendously, it's an exciting time. There's no doubt about it.
It is. And you can only think that this bid will snowball from here. Anytime
right.
any bid will get $2.5 million from the government, it can only go one direction.
And we've got four, you know, as I say, there's $4.5 million already on board. So $4.5 million, With the fans providing another million, which they will in time. Obviously, we're getting close, or we're starting on that road.
Yep.
So that's 5.5 million. So really, you know, we're probably only 500,000 away from what we need to get in. And really, it's how many more people will Ivan be able to get on board? So well done, Ivan Slavic. Let's get behind him. Let's keep it going. Sign up now. And if you want to show your support and do a little bit more than just put your $200 in, you can hand out posters. I know Ivan spoke to all the clubs yesterday, and there's going to be a... a desk, A-League desk at every ground this weekend, so you can pick up your information. There's going to be different posters out there. And you can also get the information, Win the Bid, www.winthebid.com.au. But let just not this be about the money. This is Canberra's chance, the region's chance, for individuals to get involved and promote the thing, make it your team, feel part of it. So don't put the money in, that's great. But what can you do to help, you know, spread the word, do a little bit for the team, for the football in Canberra, and let's all get behind it.
And keep an eye out for the proposed train trip to Sydney coming up in, I think it's late November, early December.
We'll
at
have
the
more on that, yeah. And also some Ivan's got some sponsors already lined up for, I think 2, 3, or 4 sponsors, gold sponsors. So, you know, there's plenty of money beyond just the initial investors.
Indeed, that's fantastic news. And as you mentioned, a train trip up to Sydney should be very, very exciting. Hopefully we can get a bay and... paint the stadium green?
Green, I think it's going to be.
Simon Hill, Murray Shaw, former Canberra Uni boy, Simon Hill, Foxball, Andy Harper, Craig Foster, Matthew Hall from New York. All those people have contacted me in the last week to say, look, they're really excited about the A-League bid and they're really up for it. And a name from the past, Canberra, Victor Fernando Jr., Andrew Young, the former Fulham coach and Canberra Metros player and many other players, many other teams from Canberra. He met up with Victor Fernando Jr. and Matthew Hall in New York and they sent their well wishes, so... And Ned Zalich, of course, is on board and will be over here in September. So, and we hope Ned's offered to do anything he can to help the bid. So, great news.
Coach?
Well, I suggested that to him and he laughed. But, you know, I think the idea started to take seed because Aaron Walker wrote a thing on the www.theroar.com and Ned's name came up. And, you know, it wouldn't be the strangest thing, would it, for Ned to come back and either do assistant or it would be a great way for him to get into coaching.
Well, I think that just was a nice little segue there to potential A-League coaches. Russ, I believe you've got a list in front of you.
We did. Well, we printed off what Aaron Walker said on your blog, on the Near Post blog.
And perhaps more importantly on www.theroar.com.au, yeah.
Absolutely. He mentioned some names. Graham Arnold. We're not too sure about that one.
Well, I think he'll be out of the job soon, so he'd be looking for a new job.
Yeah, Aaron, that doesn't mean we want him, Chris.
Aaron did say no thanks for that one. Branko Kalina.
No, we don't want Branko back.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I prefer Arnie over... Arnie at A-League level, I think would be okay.
Tom Samani, interesting choice.
Tom Samani, well, yeah, he would be a great choice, but the women are doing well, and do we want to take him from the women's game?
Well, I think he's doing a great job with the women's game. Yeah. So while they're continuing to go from strength to strength, I think don't fix what's not broke.
Okay. We've got Robbie Hooker on this list.
Robbie Hooker, current ACTAS coach, probably looking for the job in the W League, no doubt, I would think. So, he'd be in the mix, I guess.
Well, this one was interesting for me, Damien Morey.
Damien Morey. Well, he's coaching down in Adelaide in South Australia. So, I don't know. It's, we'd probably want a bit more of a Canberra focus, I think, but not necessarily.
He could coach the strikers.
Could I throw Tony Vidmore out there? He's just gone to Adelaide United.
That's good. Alex Tobin.
Alex Tobin.
There's two there that, you know, they've just done their, or starting to do their apprenticeship, I guess, yeah.
And of course, a couple others on this list. Nick Theodorakopoulos. I hope I said that correctly.
You said it excellently for an Englishman, mate.
Done quite well there.
I'm glad I didn't have to say it.
Especially for a guy who's left his tongue at home, apparently.
Absolutely.
Nick did a great job. Notice I use his first name. Nick did a great job with Wollongong. Not so good with Newcastle Jets, but
he was exciting. It was a short stint there.
It is, yeah.
And of course, Ned Zelich on this list as well.
Ned Zelich.
The man himself.
The man. The god. The Canberra god.
The god. Well, thank God he left Georgia.
Yeah, well, he was just left in the right time, didn't he?
He did.
So who would you take out of all those?
Arsene Wenger.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
If he's available. Out of all of those, like I said, I was quite interested in Damien Morey, but I think Ned Zelich would be the one out of that list if I had a choice.
Although he's got no coaching experience.
Yeah, or Tom Samani.
So maybe Ned with Tom.
I think Ned is assistant coach with maybe Tom. Although you only have to look at Queensland. Frank Varina, former national coach, gone back to coaching the A-League and see what he's done with the Queensland Roars. Quite positive. So
Lauren McKenna.
You never know.
Lauren McKenna's popular in Canberra.
Laurie McKinnon's very popular.
Ready for a change?
I think Laurie McKinnon's very popular in the Central Coast as well, though, isn't
he? Yeah, but he might be ready for a change after a few years.
He may be.
Well, he's got, I think I read today, he has 3 more years on his contract up there on the coast.
Ooh.
So I don't know about you guys, but if I do my maths correctly, I think that's around 2011.
There's a lot
I think that that time rings a bell. Is that maybe when the A-League?
Okay, you, no, 2010, I think we are. But still, we could get him a year early.
We'll poach him.
All right, what are we going to talk about now, guys?
I thought we'd have a chat about the Men's Premier League, seeing as though we're pushing towards finals time and the top four was decided on the weekend. I can run through a couple of the results that were on the weekend. We'll start with the top four. It was rounded out by O'Connor Knights, who defeated Tuggeranong United 1-0 at O'Connor Enclosed on the weekend. Mohsen Ravanpasa took advantage of an unfortunate mistake in the United defence to settle the contest. Tuggeranong did have a case for a brace of penalties, and Matt Mensah really should have equalised from 4 yards, but blazed over with the goal at his mercy. It was a tight-fought game, but I think O'Connor Knights, they took the chance when they had on offer. Tuggeranong have only got themselves to blame, really, as much as it pains me to say so, but they've rounded out the top four, Chris.
Look, I think both teams have proven themselves to be worthy finalists this year. It's unfortunate that one of them has to miss out. But you know, Tuggeranong, as you mentioned, had their chances, couldn't put them away. A few penalties went a-begging, but you know what? That's football, unfortunately. You get them Sundays, you don't get them the other days. So the bounce of the ball didn't go in the favour of Tuggeranong this week. And, mate, next year I think you guys will have to push up, and I think next year you guys can really give it a big shake.
I'll blame Jeremy Butler.
I'm sure he'd love that. United now face Woden Valley for fifth spot next weekend. Woden not going into that match with much confidence after getting an absolute battering at the hands of a rampant Canberra Olympic, 6-0 to Olympic on the weekend. Scott Barzi with a hat-trick, taking his total to 16 for the season. Travis Dries and Oliver Wiedeker both scored. They took their totals to 6 respectively. And Trent Flanagan claimed a 7th of the season. Olympic look a real danger for the finals. They've now scored 15 goals in their last 3 games. And for my money, they are an outside bet, having seen off Canberra FC 3-0 a couple of weeks ago.
Well, look, as you mentioned, beat Canberra FC 3 weeks ago, backed that up with a 6-0 victory, and then backed that one up with another 6-0 victory. So 12 goals in 2 games is quite phenomenal, really. But as you mentioned, they're looking a huge threat for this year's competition. And interestingly, the only team to beat Canberra FC, so are they the ones?
I think they possibly could be. They've got the enough attacking threat going forward to cause teams lots of problems. It's whether or not their defence can keep itself sound and solid. They've only conceded the 15 goals this season, which isn't too bad in the 15 games. Obviously, a goal a game, which is not too bad. But they're facing a Canberra FC side that have scored 47 goals, netted another 4 on the weekend, beating Canberra City 4-1, led by Paul Ivanich, scoring his 20th goal of the season. And he also missed a penalty. Alex Castro and John Glass found the target. They didn't need any help, but David Dexter apparently side-footed one home from close range for them.
He'll take the help.
He'll take the help. James Schofield pushing forward, got a consolation for Canberra City, but Canberra FC back to winning ways.
Can we? I know you've got a Magic 8-Ball segment coming up, so we just need to move quickly along the fixtures for this weekend.
We will discuss Canberra FC's potential to win the title just in a minute, but fixtures for this weekend, Saturday the 23rd of August, the final round of the local Men's Premier League, it's Tuggeranong United v Woden Valley at Canberra. On Sunday, it's Queanbeyan City taking on Canberra City, which is a fairly bottom-of-the-table clash, but both sides want to finish their seasons off on a high. That one at Riverside. Canberra Olympic taking on ANUFC. Hate to say it, but could be another 6-0 victory there. That one at Woden Enclosed. And finally, the big one, Canberra FC v Belconnen United at Deakin Oval. Everyone potentially thought this could have decided the league championship earlier on in the season, but doesn't seem to be the way.
I think you'll find at the end of this time next week when we're chatting about it, Canberra FC obviously would have won the league. Olympic would have given ANU a beating. They'll finish second, and I think Belconnen will be third.
But also, just quickly having a look at, we will discuss the Women's Premier League in depth, but while we're on fixtures for the weekend, it is on Saturday at McKellar, Belconnen United taking on ANU. On Sunday, down at Mawson, it's Western Creek taking on Woden Valley. The girls in Woden obviously collecting their first win last weekend, so have a tough task, but we'll be looking to make it 2 in a row. And finally, Bell West taking on Canberra City. That's a top four clash, and as mentioned, there's still everything to play for in that competition.
Hi, I'm Tom Samani, coach of the Matildas. You're listening to The Near Post on 2XX.
And We mentioned at the top of the show we've got a very, very exciting segment coming this evening. Ronaldinho, unfortunately, couldn't make it this evening as a special guest. He initially was supposed to bring a Magic 8 Ball with him, but unfortunately, he's stuck in China. Olympics or something. There's some big event happening. I'm not sure.
Now, you've been excited about this Magic 8 Ball, Chris, for weeks. You've been phoning me up and telling me how good it's going to be. I can't wait.
I would say more than once a day I've been phoning you, but look, it's going to be huge. But as mentioned, he couldn't bring the Magic 8 Ball. I think also Magic 8 Balls are no longer in production. Currently, at the moment, factories have shut down in China for pollution. So we've got the next best thing. We thought, sticking with the Asian theme, we brought in a box of fortune cookies. You can hear it, packet here, Russell. Yes, nothing but the real deal.
Russell, you can hear it.
I can hear it. I can hear it.
It's Russell Noy.
We went and raided the local Chinese restaurant. So we thought, well, if the Magic 8 Ball isn't going to answer our questions, what's the next best thing? It's a fortune cookie. So, Russ, I believe you've got some big questions that need answering.
I think the question of the week this week, the first one, will be, can anybody stop Canberra FC winning the men's Premier League title?
Well, we'll get that answer in just a sec.
Magic 8 Ball. Magic 8 Ball.
The lads are cracking up. I can't even remember the question.
The question...
Look,
compose ourselves as we do here, because we're professionals.
That is the funniest thing we've ever heard. Russ Gibbs and Chris Collins. They're just in hysterics. Go on.
The question was, can anybody...
You're wasted, Chris.
Can anyone stop Canberra FC winning the men's Premier League title
this year? Give Chris a real job.
Well, let's ask the fortune cookie. Fortune cookie knows best.
He certainly does.
What was the question?
Can anybody stop Canberra FC winning the men's Premier League this year?
We've got the fortune cookie out of the box, in the hand. Let's hope crumbs don't go anywhere. I don't think there's food and drinks allowed in here.
No, they're not.
So we will not make a single mess in here. That's the crack of the cookie.
That is beautiful.
It's a good sound, isn't it?
It is a good sound.
Question again, can anybody stop Canberra FC winning the men's Premier League?
And the answer is...
That is a funny answer. You have to buy it. Chris, I mean... I think this will work better on TV.
It says people who value their privileges above their principles will soon lose both.
I think that's right. And I think if Bill Connan, really get into this game and keep to their principles, they could take on Canberra FC, don't you think? And, they've got the privilege of playing Canberra FC in the final, no doubt. We're just playing games waiting for them. And I think Bill Connan can do it this year.
Look, I think the fortune cookie never lies.
That's true.
And
that is true.
Eamon, do you have a question?
Canberra FC could have trouble, apparently.
Give us another question. Give us another question. Okay, next
question number two.
And the final question on the show tonight, as we're running out of time.
As it's an Olympic theme, will Australia catch up to Great Britain at the top of the Olympics chart? We don't count America or China because they're cheating. Again, will Australia catch up to Great Britain and overtake them in the Olympic standings?
Well, as we mentioned before, the fortune cookie never lies, never has, never will. And it says here in my hand is, look, exclamation mark, good fortune is around you. There it is.
There you go.
You heard it here first on Capital Football's Near Post Radio Show. Australia will come back and I guess overtake Britain in the Olympics. And secondly,
They've got no chance, Russ.
Who's that? Australia?
Either of them.
No. Well, I think China are over the hill and far away, aren't they?
What's the fortune cookies trying to tell us?
So the fortune cookies...
John Coates, can I just say, was right. John Coates said, Britain are doing well in the swimming, which is not bad for a nation with no swimming pools and who can't use soap.
Well, that's why they're all getting in the pools. They need to wash up.
Okay, we're actually way out of time.
Way out of time.
Thanks very much.
There's a piece of fortune cookie.
Thanks for your fortune cookie. Chris, thanks for coming in.
This is dinner, mate.
And... wherever you go, whatever you're doing this weekend, enjoy your fortune cookies. Look forward to more Magic 8 Ball. Well done, Chris. Enjoyed that one. And wherever you're going this weekend, if you go into the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.